Hi, everyone, and welcome to another Talking Psalm episode. I'm super, super happy that you're here, Michelle. Welcome.
Hi, so great to meet you.
Excellent. So, just for a little backstory for everyone tuning in here, I got an email, I think it was about a month ago, from you, Michelle, saying mm-hmm. thank you. You had read my book and you had really started to do better, understand what's happening with your sleep, etc. So thanks so much for sending that and for being on again. But I'd like to ask everyone actually a little bit for curiosity, how did you find my channel?
I actually found it a little bit randomly. I personally was actually past the point of thinking I could even improve my sleep. And I was just on YouTube one day and I had clearly searched enough sleep-related, insomnia-related items that one of your videos was just a suggested video and I happened to click on it. And that's how I found you.
I see. Mm-hmm. Very well. So yeah, with that said, I want to, you know, share with you the kind of the insights you've had, and I think you made some real progress. But let's start from the very beginning. So you said like some 5 years ago or something like that, you started having trouble sleeping.
Yeah, this all started 5 years ago for me. Originally, it was actually from going off of a medication. And so I think at first I was actually going through some kind of withdrawal and my body was just trying to readjust. And when I look back, I actually really can't figure out when that sleep disturbance really started or stopped and when the insomnia really started, like the psychological fear and the anxiety. So I kind of can't pull it apart, but that was originally how it started for me.
Exactly. Such a common way it starts, by the way. But so before that, by the way, you had really not had any trouble sleeping before that or here and there, or what was it like?
I was never a great sleeper, but it wasn't something I really worried about. I didn't really think about too much. So, and I never had insomnia at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you come off this medication and was it pretty like abrupt that you started sleeping very little or what happened?
It was practically overnight. I went from sleeping really well to just completely not being able to sleep and having a lot of like high heart rate symptoms, feeling like panic, even though mentally I felt really calm, things like that, just keeping me up half the night, all night. And this was really the first time that it occurred to me like, oh, I can just stop sleeping. This is a possibility. So that thought had never occurred to me. And I think once that seed had been planted, it just continued to grow and grow. And especially because I was seeing what it was like to not sleep. And I kept telling myself, okay, this will end really soon. And it never did. And then it just kind of continued. It got worse and worse over time.
Exactly. So yeah. So pretty immediately after that, one of the first nights where you slept very little, you immediately were triggered and you thought something is wrong and you were worried about it.
Yeah, I knew it was because I had gone off of a medication, but I thought, okay, maybe this will be a week or something exactly. like that. I thought my body will adjust and this will just go away and I don't have to worry about it. So in the first week or two, I wasn't that worried. It was when it started to, it just continued for months and months. And the longer it went, the more stressed I got, definitely.
And did you keep thinking that it was, at what point, or was there a point where you thought, oh, this can't be the medication anymore? Or did you kind of sort of keep thinking that it must still be related to the medication?
I thought it had created some sort of problem. So I definitely, for the first year or so, I thought, okay, there's a really inherent problem now. And I wasn't sure if I could fix it or if I was damaged in some way, something like that. So definitely I thought there's something deeply inherently wrong with me.
So basically you thought like coming off this medication, somehow being on the medication or coming off of it has somehow created a problem sort of in my nervous system.
Exactly.
Like that.
Both actually, both. Oh, being on it. And then of course, coming off of it, the combination.
And as you know, when you were in that phase, did you go back to the prescriber? Did you see doctors? Like what were you doing in that initial phase?
Oh yes. So much of all of that. I would say I tried everything, kind of like the typical insomniac. You kind of start with the herbal supplements and the melatonin and it just starts to snowball from there. I mean, I literally tried, I think, every single thing that you could possibly think of. Everything from, you know, all the supplements, sleeping pills, to, you know, yoga, meditation, hypnosis, weighted blankets, all the sleep hygiene, all the routines. And that was, you know, in addition to going to see multiple doctors, multiple alternative practitioners, you just, I just threw myself at the problem. Mm-hmm.
And looking back at that, do you think, did you get any helpful guidance, or was it all kind of like, not really?
Unfortunately, no. The most common guidance or advice I got when I would seek help from people was that I should just go on to antidepressants. I was constantly being prescribed antidepressants, which I'm thankful that I didn't take in my case, because I knew that wasn't the issue that I was trying to solve. It just never felt right. But that was the advice I was constantly getting. So I really felt that I was just on my own trying to figure it out. And of course that's hard because you're so exhausted at the same time.
And how were you, you're still working, still sort of coping with this, or?
I was. So during the worst of it, I was working full time, and I had gone back to school part time to become a nutritionist at the time. So I was trying to juggle both. And that was one of the worst periods of my insomnia during that time. So it was a huge challenge.
Actually, I want to read something from your initial email that I thought was really, really important. And I wanted to talk to you about, where did it go? Now, of course, it is here. I have it right here. You said something like this: this past year, I managed to improve my sleep to more manageable levels, achieving what I felt was a fragile truce with insomnia. Yeah. I find that I recognize that pattern more and more. And so would you comment on that, share a little bit on that?
Sure. So one of the things I did about a year ago was I took a course to learn TM meditation. And I had already been meditating for years, but I had heard good things about TM. So I took a course and learned how to do it and started doing it every day, twice a day. And it was actually the first thing that I tried that did help my sleep. And I think looking back, knowing what I know now, I think it did help to relieve some of the hyperarousal that was going on in my brain. But at the time I just knew, well, this is helping, so I'm going to keep doing it. So it did improve my sleep a little bit, but I mean, I was still doing a lot of sleep hygiene. I had kind of strict routines. I would do multiple things before going to bed every night. If I missed one, I would, you know, get stressed out about it. I was still having a lot of trouble falling asleep. I was still having a lot of adrenaline rushes, sleep onset twitches that were keeping me up for a long time. And I was still waking up multiple times a night. I think the only difference was I was able to get some sleep intermittently through that time in the past year. So it did feel like I had this fragile truce. As long as I did everything perfectly, right? As long as I did my sleep hygiene and my routines and my meditations and my stretching and all this other stuff, you know, and got to bed early and gave myself a significant amount of time in bed, that I could kind of like eke out some sleep for myself. And so that was what the last year was like. And part of me was relieved because I was able to get more sleep, but I was still living in so much fear, just kind of white knuckling every day, just waiting for the really severe insomnia to come back. Kind of the moment that I slipped up or, you know, missed doing a routine or something like that. So it was just, I felt like I was standing on the edge of a cliff and I was no longer down in the cliff.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was feeling like standing on the edge. And so it was better, but I mean, not that much better, really. And I had resigned myself to this is as good as it gets. And now I need to focus on acceptance. And this is what my life will be, is just managing this issue. So that was where I was when I found your videos and your content.
Wow. It's I'm so like I'm thinking about that. You describe it, I think, so well. I think so many people relate to this, and I'm so serendipitous that I'm so happy you clicked on that suggested video.
And me too.
Wow. Do you remember which one it was, by the way?
I don't remember which one, but I remember one of the first quotes that I heard you say, and I'm so glad it was this video because it was really what gave me kind of a light bulb moment. And you said, you know, there are hundreds of things that can give you sleep disturbances, but only how you think about them can give you insomnia. And I went, whoa. And that was where I just really, that grabbed me. And exactly. And then I kept watching. And then that day I ordered your book and a book by Guy Meadows the same day as well. And just that was really the starting point for me.
Wow. And now, one thing you wrote, I think you already mentioned it here, and you wrote in the email too, was that one of the key insights was understanding hyperarousal.
Yes, that was really huge for me because I couldn't understand the symptoms I was having even during the day. I couldn't understand my body just felt so completely different. And so for the first couple of years of my insomnia, I had the hardest time falling asleep. That was really my main problem. My heart was always racing. My heart rate was always so elevated. I would lay in bed mentally feeling calm, I thought, but my heart was pounding so hard that I could not ever sleep. I could hear it in my ears and it would keep me awake. And after a couple of years of that being my primary symptom, I started developing sleep onset twitches, and pretty severely. And this really concerned me. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it was. And when I sought help for it and would ask people, doctors, practitioners, what this could be, either nobody had answers or it was brought up that, you know, perhaps I had some sort of neurological issue developing. So that really stressed me out. So then, of course, I mean, every single night, as the twitching would start, at the back of my mind, I would think, oh God, you know, what if this is something really serious? And it would add to the stress. It would add to my fear of the whole experience. And of course, that would just generate more twitching. And I didn't understand that at the time. And of course, I would wake up as well with a twitch or a jerk, and I had a lot of adrenaline rushes, just all these symptoms that I'd never had before. And I didn't understand them, and they frightened me on a nightly basis, thinking, wow, this is proof that there's something really wrong with me. Because it's not just that I'm not sleeping, I'm having all these physical symptoms that nobody can explain. And so when I started reading in your book about the symptoms of hyperarousal and what hyperarousal is and how it shows up in all these different ways, I was so relieved. I almost can't put into words how relieved I was that it was my brain was hyperaroused. You know, I had almost accidentally trained it to be hyperaroused through how I was emotionally reacting, mentally and emotionally reacting to my insomnia. And just understanding that it wasn't a serious, these things are not serious medical issues. There's a reason for it. And also that you have some control. You can take your power back and you can start to retrain your brain to be less hyper-aroused. And so that was just such a huge comfort. And I actually started to see the impact of that type of retraining pretty quickly within days. I went from kind of responding to the adrenaline rushes, the jerks, twitches, all these things with fear and anxiety, and then started to not just accept them and almost welcome them, I know, as crazy as that sounds, and to talk to them and be completely okay with them and welcome them in as part of my sleep process. And within about 2 or 3 weeks, they had cut in half.
Yeah.
And I'm about 2 months into all of this now, and I'm still having these symptoms, but they're reduced from where I started. And so it's been very comforting to just know, okay, this is what's going on. This is why. And also you can actually help yourself reduce some of these symptoms. And it's, I really, really loved learning about how important it is to like your internal reactions emotionally, mentally to all of this, and how that's really everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, which is the tricky thing here is that often people then ask, all right, so how can I change my reaction? Like, how do I do that? And the way I think about it is like, again, it's not like you can decide that, okay, now I'm going to react this way. To me, it's more like when you understand it, then you sort of naturally react less, et cetera. So does that resonate with you? Or how would you answer that to somebody who says like, how can I change my reaction?
That's such a good question, because I'm also, you know, I have had anxiety in the past. I'm not a naturally calm person by any means. So at first reading that, okay, well, now you need to change your reaction to these things. At first, the first thought is, well, how can I possibly? You know, this is scary, or this is really uncomfortable. I hate this. And that, I think that's normal to feel, especially if you've been going through this for years at a time. You have almost, it's the habit of your reaction as well, built in. And I think the first part for me was that education piece, learning what it is and why it's happening, could remove for me a large amount of fear. And so that was sort of the first layer. And knowing that my reactions were going to play such a significant role to actually retraining my brain to feel calm, to feel safe around sleep, I found that really motivating and empowering. I loved that. So that was a huge incentive for me to really focus on that. And I also really liked, I think this was in Guy Meadows' book, The Sleep Book, because I read both of your books together, and I feel like I kind of put them together and implemented a combination of both of your books, and they're, because they're very complementary. And I think he talked about when there was a section about welcoming the unwelcome. And I found this, again, at first, the instinct is, well, that's crazy, because how could you possibly welcome such unwelcome thoughts, feelings, sensations? And one thing he says is, you know, you don't even have to believe it at first. You don't have to kind of almost buy into it. Just try it out. And your brain will believe you, even if you're not totally buying into the concept. Just try it. And so that's really what I did. You know, the next time I would go to sleep and the night twitches would start, and I would feel the adrenaline rush, and I would feel the anxiety. And instead of pushing it away or letting that get me more anxious, like here it comes, I would start talking to the twitches or the adrenaline rushes. I would say, oh, you know, there you are. Welcome. Come on in, you know, let's spend some time together. And as crazy as it sounds, doing that again and again and again, I think helped my brain feel safe while these things were happening. And I mean, of course, all this is happening so subconsciously, so you feel silly doing it. But then the next night, the twitches are not as bad tonight. Interesting.
Yes.
And so I think it's like once you start seeing, oh, the more I am welcoming in all these unwelcome thoughts, feelings, and emotions and body sensations, the more they're decreasing, the more they're subsiding, it's proof that it works. And I think that's a huge incentive to keep going. And so, you know, that was really big for me, just sort of trying it out, even if there's a part of your brain that's thinking, this doesn't make sense, or how can I do this? Just trying it and see if it works for you.
100%. And you know, just mainly this is a comment for anybody that's tuning in here, that one way I think about this that I think is really helpful is that the brain is afraid of something, and it is not actually a real threat. It is a perceived threat, but the fear is real. And the brain is like sending you these like warning signals that can come in thoughts, that can come in anxiety, can come in body sensations. And when you are, it's like when you try to warn a friend, if your friend goes like, I don't want to listen. Then you're like, I got to warn her.
Right.
But when you start listening, the brain is like, oh, she's actually listening. Oh, I don't have to warn her that much. That's how I think of it. Conceptualize how this helps.
That's exactly it. That was huge. And I think that so many of us, without realizing it, when these feelings and when these sensations are showing up, we're almost trying to push them away because they're so unpleasant and stressful. And it's the opposite. You need to invite them in and almost invite them in like a good friend, again, welcoming them. And another thing that I found helpful was kind of along the same lines of welcoming them in is choosing to feel them fully. And so whatever thoughts, whatever emotions and sensations are coming up, instead of pushing them away at all, welcoming them in. And then once you've welcomed them, to try to really feel those feelings and sensations fully. And I find that well, one, it prevents you from pushing it away, which only makes it worse. And it also, at times you can actually feel it move through you, if that even makes sense. Like if suddenly the anxiety is happening and you start to have all these thoughts about, oh, here it comes, I'm not going to sleep tonight, how am I going to cope tomorrow? And suddenly I can feel the anxiety building in my body. After being aware of it and welcoming it in, I'll consciously try to kind of soften and feel the anxiety and where do I feel it in my body and what does it feel like? And just giving it that awareness and that attention, a lot of the time, the anxiety or whatever emotion will just pass and I can let it go, as opposed to pushing it away or ruminating on it, which I find just makes you hold on to whatever those feelings or sensations actually are.
Oh, that's so well put. And, you know, I have to ask you, like, did you sort of learn this only from Guy Meadows books, or have you read about mindfulness, meditation, things of that nature as well? Or
sure. I've been a yoga teacher for years. Okay. Part-time. So mindfulness and meditation has been part of my life for a long time. Although it is very difficult to apply, I have found it easier to teach to others and apply in the moment, which is always sometimes the case with these things. But so I've been familiar with a lot of these concepts, I think, for a while. And however, I found it really difficult to actually implement with myself during insomnia because it felt so extreme, so difficult. It almost felt out of grasp, if that even makes sense, during
absolutely. Time. And to tell me, like, as we're talking here, this thought comes to my mind that perhaps it was that, you know, when it started, you were pretty convinced that there was something like physically wrong with you. Yep. And therefore, how would mindfulness work if there's something like really something like that?
And I was in that mind space for, I want to say, at least a couple of years, where I just was convinced it was purely physical. There was nothing else going on. This was a purely physical problem. And so I went at it from a physical standpoint, and that was where I was focused. So I wasn't implementing any of these tools to the insomnia. I would implement it in other areas of my life, but I wasn't thinking that it was as relevant here, to that it could possibly help solve that problem. And one book I want to reference, because it was really important for me as well, that I should say I really combined the three books together.
Yeah.
There's a book called The Untethered Soul, and it is really focused on bringing more awareness into your life and kind of coming into that seat of awareness with yourself, especially during difficult times. And there's a chapter specifically on how to fully feel and process painful emotions. And so that book really talks a lot about this concept of how we tend to push things away that feel really uncomfortable and painful, or we might ruminate a lot and not let it go. And then that's gonna have the same impact on whatever that emotion is. We're holding it in, we're keeping it in, and it's meant to actually be felt fully and to be let go of. And so I remember reading that book, it was less than a year ago, and thinking, oh, I don't think I'm fully feeling and letting go of painful emotions. And so during this whole process of reading your book and Guy's book, and then combining it with that concept, it kind of gave me a really great, I guess, framework of what to do when all these unpleasant sensations and feelings and anxiety and stress, all of it comes up at night, and how to really process it as well. So that's, it's been really helpful. So I definitely credit that book to the concept of, I guess, how to feel and process and then let go of certain really painful emotions and difficult feelings.
The untethered soul, was it?
Untethered soul.
Untethered soul.
Yeah.
Very good. That goes on my list for sure. And you know, right. Just as a little comment, I'm where I'm in my, like, my space is that I, as you know, like what I focus most on is like, kind of like, just kind of education, like understanding why this is happening, what sleep is, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I really understand that. I think after you've understood, then you have to kind of go the let go path. And I'm realizing more and more how these ancient wisdoms that are in like meditation, mindfulness, yoga, is so helpful. So that's, I'm really exploring this more and more. So absolutely. There was something more I want to ask you about, but it escapes my mind. So let's go to, so you found my book, Guy Meadows' book, maybe a couple of months ago. And, you know, as you know, I get to this point in an interview where, like, I think it is actually not helpful to focus too much on sleep because that's part of the problem, right? But then everybody's listening are going to wonder, so how are you sleeping now, Michelle? So how has sleep been, like, since you had these realizations, et cetera?
Good. So the change actually happened pretty quickly. I think it was because I was able to have that light bulb moment from finding your content in your book. And that was such a gift to be able to have almost like an epiphany, because then I think you can really shift your behavior quite quickly. It really let me take a step back and look at my insomnia for what it really was, and to realize, like, basically that I've created a monster and now I'm battling the monster every night and every day. And as horrible as that is, it's also so empowering, because you go from being so powerless while you're in your insomnia, feeling like you have no control, this thing is stealing your life, to realizing, wait, I have all the control here. So for me, my sleep improved practically overnight. It didn't resolve at all, but I suddenly got excited about, like, sleep again, as odd as that sounds. I was like, oh, wait, I think it was that I just knew, even before it happened, I knew I was going to be a normal sleeper again.
Yes.
I knew it intuitively. And the immense comfort that provided is hard to put into words, because I had given up on that. And so for me, I started using the tools that we just talked about pretty much right away. And I did notice a change right away. But one mistake I actually made was, I am the type of person that I like to make changes really quickly. So I get excited. And so, you know, if I'm going to quit something, it's going to be cold turkey. Like, it's going to be, I'm going to flip the switch and that's the change. And I've always, that's how I make change. And sometimes that works really well, but with this, it did not work as well. And I think, so immediately after reading your book, I said, okay, great, tonight, you know, no more sleep hygiene, no more routines, no more sleep aids, no more, like, none of it, like, gone. And I felt great about it, but my hyper aroused brain did not feel that great about it. So after a few nights that were kind of worse, and I could even tell, oh, I'm really excited about this and I feel pretty calm, but I'm having the heart rate and I'm having the twitches are like, okay, I think I went too far too quickly. Even though I like making change quickly, I need to take smaller steps. And so the moment I did that and I said, okay, you know, but once a week, I will pull something away. And I just methodically did that, you know, did one or two things a week and was able to see kind of steady improvement, and, you know, was able to kind of set the alarm for the morning, which I wasn't able to do before, get off all my sleep aids, which I didn't think would be possible. And within about, I want to say 2 or 3 weeks, I was starting to like sleep a lot better. I would say at this point I sleep typically 7.5, possibly even 8 hours. But you know, some nights 6, and it doesn't bother me.
Exactly.
I leave it open, and I still have some issues falling asleep. You know, I still do have night twitches. They're just not as bad. I still have some adrenaline rushes, and I still wake up a few times a night. The difference is I now know that's okay. And I don't panic about being awake at night anymore. I don't go, oh God, you know, I'm awake again. Now I have to, you know, try to fall asleep. And it's a stressful process. If I shouldn't be awake, I shouldn't, you know, shouldn't be awake. I now just wake up and, you know, again, manage that. I welcome it in if it comes in, those thoughts and feelings. And sometimes it doesn't even, and I just fall back asleep, and it's not really a big deal. So, I mean, my sleep isn't perfect, but I'm no longer trying to achieve perfect sleep.
Exactly.
Right. And that was one of the things I learned in your book, was when you were talking about how normal, healthy sleepers really overestimate their sleep. And, you know, they think they sleep about 8 hours. They don't think they wake up at night, when in fact they're sleeping maybe closer to 6.5 with a few wake ups. And I thought, oh, so this whole bizarre goal of getting this uninterrupted 8 hours, is not even, no one's getting it, basically. Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Or so rarely. It is like this really rare event. That should never be aspired to. Otherwise, it just makes you feel like you're not getting the right sleep or the best quality sleep, or you're, you know, something's damaged in you or something like that. These expectations are completely unreasonable. So that was a huge comfort. That was a really big comfort, was I could stop chasing, like, oh, okay, I need to have perfect sleep for my health and these other things. And so, yeah, I'm sleeping much better now, and I'm no longer chasing that perfect sleep. So yeah, sometimes it takes me a little while to fall asleep, and I wake up a few times a night, and it's no longer this horrible, stressful, anxiety inducing experience. You know, I'm no longer up for an hour or two in the middle of the night needing to calm down. I may be up for 20 minutes, that kind of thing. So
no, it's super nice to hear. And, you know, as I'm talking to you, I really feel like you're in this space where, yeah, sometimes you have those switches, something's going on, but, and you will probably, like everyone else, you'll probably also have a time where something stressful happens in your life and you sleep very little. But I think the difference between you now or you like 5 years ago or something like that is, I don't think you will ever go back to the cliff.
That's right. And I actually felt that way the first day when I was reading your book. So even before my sleep had improved at all, just that knowing if I'm going to be a normal sleeper again, and I'm never going to have to be afraid of going back there, because now I've stared it in the face. I know what this is. And you're right, now, you know, I still have some bad nights. I always will, because we all do. And it's okay. I won't get up the next morning feeling panicked by it and immediately starting to almost throw myself into, you know, researching, or what do I try next and what do I do, and worrying about how am I possibly going to get through the day, and letting it consume me. All the fear consume me around that. It's just, well, let's just go on with my life and I'll probably sleep better tonight. And that's it.
Wonderful. I think this was such a powerful story, Michelle. I think I know so many people are going to hear this and find that hope, and it's going to be super, super helpful. So I really want to thank you for being willing to share all this.
Of course. No, thank you again for all the work that you're doing. Anything I could help to get the message out, because I think so many people are suffering with this and feel hopeless and powerless. And so much of the information out there in the mainstream, unfortunately, makes things so much worse. And you just go down that rabbit hole, and sometimes for years on end, without finding the right information. So thank you for writing your book and for this channel, because it's been so helpful. So I hope it reaches as many people as possible.
I think, you know, thanks to support from yours and everybody else on the channel, we'll definitely make some real good change. So yeah, thank you again. And we'll stay in touch.
Sounds good. Thanks, Daniel.